Welcome to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller. When you make beer, there's a bunch of stuff left over that would otherwise go to waste, and craft brewers seem to be especially conscious of the environment, and that's all connected. Beer byproducts this week on Beer Untapped. Oh yeah, and the third annual South Dakota Tap Takeover, too. Grain is the prime ingredient in any beer, but you don't really consume the grain itself. You extract the sugars from the grain, leaving the rest behind.
In the brewing, what we're really interested in is the sugars and the starches inside of the grain itself. So if we do our job right, we extract, and that's the word that a lot of brewers use, is they extract. We extract all the sugars out and put it in the water that becomes the beer, and we leave behind purposefully proteins and some of the fibers and, you know, those materials that is part of the grain, but not the part that we can brew it, use in a beer.
That is Seth Cook, head brewer and co-owner at Wooden Legs Brewing in Brookings. He says there are uses for that spent grain.
The brewers will then either donate this, in some cases sell it, in some cases market it as animal feed. And it, to be fair, you could actually feed humans on it too. People have made spent grain cookies out of it, or spent grain. I think there was a spent grain bar of soap. I don't know if I'd eat that, but I think there's
bread with it too.
Yeah, bread. Never spent grain bread. So what we do here at the pub is we have a relationship with a local farmer who uses it, comes and gets it about every day or every other day that we brew, takes it and feeds it as a supplement to his cattle. As kind of a fun note, they've actually become hand tamed so that when they show up with the spent grain, they'll nuzzle in the spent grain and he's used it as bait to have them follow the truck into the pen, so they're very fond of it.
There are breweries that even take it a step further, serving the meat from the spent grain-fed animals in their brew pubs and restaurants.
It is a true tank to field to table type of relationship. I have had some of the results of the animals having spent grain, and they're perfectly tasty. But the point being is that the spent grain itself has a lot of nutrients left in it. You know, it has a lot of proteins, and I said fibers. We try to get the sugars out, but there's residual sugars in it, and that's what the cows really love.
A few brewers have found another use for the spent grain.
Some breweries, and this one's really cool. If you look at like Alaskan Brewing Company in Juneau, what they'll do is they have such an efficient system and such a unique way of doing things that they'll actually take the spent grain and use it as a fuel source for heating up some of their other equipment, whether they burn it in a reactor and it helps brew the beer itself, or it makes water hot. We use a lot of hot water, so the more energy that we can get out of what we do, the less energy we have to buy or come from another source. So they'll use their spent grains to fuel and fire some parts of their brewery. So spent grains are pretty cool byproduct that the industry has.
More when Beer Untapped continues in a moment.
Embers and lagers and pilsners and ales, by the pint art, the mug art, a keg art, a pail. It doesn't matter which flavor you love, but if you're still standing, you ain't had enough beer.
Welcome back to Beer on Tap with Perry Miller. This week we're talking brewing byproducts and going green, and also that South Dakota Tap Takeover coming up. Seth Cook of Wooden Legs Brewing says, besides spent grain, another useful byproduct of brewing is carbon dioxide gas produced during fermentation.
Some of the big breweries use their CO2 that is produced, and they bottle that and produce and distribute that as beverage grade CO2.
So when you ferment grains, it produces carbon dioxide gas.
You're right. So you'll see them bubbling in the tanks here. We don't make enough to really have a harvester to repurpose that. But if you look at some of the really big breweries, that's a source of income for them. It's happening naturally anyway. The yeast are going to produce CO2 as they ferment. So they begin capturing that and bottling that.
He says many craft brewers try to do things with an eye toward the environment.
Brewers attempt to be good stewards of not only their community, but of the global community, try to make an impact. And there is brewing can be a very, very energy intensive process, and that's one of the things that they one is the less energy we can using the product, the more cost-effective it is, but also there's an impact. There's an environmental impact that's important on that. You know, and brewers are pretty pragmatic when it comes to being able to repurpose things.
Among the many craft brewers that have made a major commitment to going green, Sierra Nevada, New Belgium, Alaskan, Odell, and Brooklyn Brewery. Also, today it is Hobo Week, and that means another very special celebration at Wooden Legs, featuring their third annual South Dakota Tap Takeover.
So what we're going to do, again, is we're going to dedicate our tap lines to South Dakota made beers. And it is the biggest day in the Dakotas as it's billed. So I know there's a lot of opportunity there to, you know, just serve high volumes of stuff and you know, just make it another big party day, which it can be on some occasions. But we think that we appreciate Hobo Day. We appreciate the guests we see for Hobo Day. We appreciate the friends that come from all over. We think Hobo Day is a real kind of shining example of the great things that happen in Brookings and the great things that happen in the state. So we use that day as a platform to put on beers from not only that we make, but obviously around the state. So if you come down, you'll be able to check out some of the beers that you can get here often. You're going to maybe find some beers that you can't get here so often. And it's just going to be a great day to hang out with friends, cheer on the Drabbits, beat Youngstown State, and you know, just enjoy the fall atmosphere.
The debut of the South Dakota Tap Takeover was, as best we can determine, the first time it was ever done.
When we first did it, it was much, much more difficult than it is now.
A lot of phone calls.
Right. Angela had to literally call, email, and carrier pigeon a couple of the breweries just to get the commitment to that they could bring the kegs to it.
And some weren't distributed then. Right.
Some. The Knuckle was a good example. They were the first time that we put them on here. So we were a bit desperate even at the first one to make sure all the tap lines were filled. The great thing is in the years that have passed, it's not nearly as difficult.
A lot more brewers,
a lot more varieties. And, you know, honestly, we don't even hardly have enough tap lines to accurately represent every brewery anymore. So we're going to do as many as we can.
Saturday's celebration also includes the return of a favorite.
The famous chili dogs are coming back for the day. The infamous, maybe not famous, but the infamous chili dogs are going to come back for the day. So my homemade chili and big old quarter pound Frankfurters. And it is awesome.
That's it for today. Until next time, drink local and drink responsibly.